In the Parsha, we learn that after the flood, Noah was allowed to have free access, he was allowed to eat from the Dagei HaYam, and from everything that crawled on the earth. And we learn out from there, the Mefarshim and Rishonim point out that from here we know that even though Adam HaRishon was not allowed to eat meat, Noah was allowed to now eat meat after the flood. And the Mefarshim discuss why should that be the case. So the answer given in the Sisei Chachamim, quoting in Mizrahi, the first answer of the Or Chaim, was that until now, or really through the process of this generation, of the generation of the flood, everything should have been destroyed. The land, the people, the animals were all corrupt. The very fact that man was chosen to survive shows that even though at creation, man and animals, man and beasts were on the same level, now there's a yisro, now there's an advantage of man over the animals. You've chosen to survive, and now we see that man is in fact superior than animals. That's the answer given by many people, and obviously that's a little bit of a confusing, confounding idea that in creation itself, man and animals were essentially equal until after the flood. Another answer given by the Mefarshim, by the Or Chaim and others, is that when man after the flood brought an animal as a carbon, so it showed that man was able to use the animal world, man was able to use the plant world, man was able to take everything in creation and use that as a way of elevation to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And once Noach did that, so then we see that man was able to take the animal world and use that for positive purpose, and therefore man was now allowed to go ahead and to eat animals. So based on the idea of the Rechayim, we understand very well why it was that for Yontif and perhaps for Shabbos, there was a mitzvah of a hakrabos karban, bringing karbanos as part of the process of Yontif, but maybe even more so of eating meat and drinking wine, that the ultimate way of serving Kodesh Baruch Hu is by taking an object of physicality and using that and elevating that in the service of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But that brings to bear the question of whether the idea of eating meat or drinking wine on Shabbos, forget about Yontif for a second, of course we know that there's a very famous machlokes in Rambam and Tosfos, whether or not there's still a mitzvah of simcha of Yontif nowadays, and how that relates to this question about eating meat. But in Shabbos, is there an obligation, is there a mitzvah, is there a chova to eat meat in the Shabbos meals or not? And one question, parenthetically, that would tie into this is whether or not there is a mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos as well. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah of simcha and yontiv is a mitzvah d'oraisa even nowadays. Is there a mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos? And maybe that would create certain chiyuvim in regards to achilas basar and shkiyas yayin. So the Rambam in Hilchos Avel clearly implies that there is a mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos, because the Rambam says that a person can't get married on Friday afternoon and then have the meal, the suzas misuin, the celebratory meal on Shabbos, because then one would violate the principle of Eimar Simcha B'Simcha. They would be coagulating, they would be combining the mitzvah, the simcha of the Nisuin together with the simcha of Shabbos. And so the Rambam implies that there is such a mitzvah called Simcha on Shabbos. The Torah Tzimimah and others, they agree with the Rambam, and the Bali Tosfos and others seem to disagree with the Rambam, that there, in fact, is no such concept called Simcha on Shabbos. There might be Kavod, there might be Oneg, but that may not be the same as Simcha per se. Now, in relation to this question about whether or not there's a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos, this seems to, again, be a machlokes between many of the Rishonim and the Rambam, and through the Rambam Lashitaso. So, for instance, Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, the Gemara said in the beginning of the third parak that an onein is not allowed to eat meat or drink yayin, but the Gemara says that he's allowed to, or he can eat meat or drink yayin on Shabbos. Now, that line is not clear. He eats meat and drinks yayin on Shabbos. The implication might be that he's obligated to eat meat and drink yayin, the onein, the person who has not yet buried the karo, the person close to him. Rabbeinu Yonah comes on the spot and says, no. This does not mean there's a chiyuv of achilas basar. It doesn't mean he's obligated to eat meat, Rather means that seeing that Shabbos, and seeing that he can't bury his karov, his relative anyway, that if he wants to meet, he can meet and eat. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. Not that there is a mitzvah of a chilas basar or a Shabbos, but it means that if he wants to, he has the option. And the Aruch HaShulchan spells it out in Siman Shin Mem Aleph Yeridei explicitly. Namely, there's no chil of eating meat on Shabbos. It's simply the onen has a rishus to eat meat. On the flip side, the Rambam, in two different places, clearly seems to say that a person must eat meat on Shabbos. The source of the Rambam, the place the Rambam talks about this, is perhaps somewhere that might seem unusual, and that is the parish from Mishnayos in Nedarim. Because in Nedarim, the Mishnah says that poskim, we give a person the opportunity to annul a neder of Shabbos and Yontif. So what does that mean? So the Rambam explains that if a person made a neder saying, I'm not eating meat for the next 50 days, or the meat is usher unto me, this meat is usher to me like a carbon for the next 50 days, and then we tell him afterwards, did you know there's a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos? Did you know there's an obligation to eat meat on Shabbos? And the person said, I didn't know, and if I had known, I would never have made that neder, taken that neder. Then postmulo, we annul the neder. And clearly, the Rambam is saying that there is a mitzvah of achilas basar on Shabbos. And others take that same position of the Rambam as well. And if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed, Halacha Yud Aleph, and the Kesef Mishnah there, also the implication, although not as clear as the other source, that there is a mitzvah of achilas basar on Shabbos. And that would clearly be the Rambam that she taught, though, who says there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. So there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. It would make sense that one should eat meat as well. So Rabbeinu Yonah and the Aruch HaShulchan say no mitzvah, no obligation. The Rambam and others say there is an obligation. How do we pass it? So it's not explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not explicit in the Mishnah Berurah or in the Aruch HaShulchan, but the Shvir Shavsky Hilchasa brings down that the general psak is that it is not an obligation to eat meat at meals on Shabbos, although clearly Chazal and clearly the Rishonim are very supportive of the practice, and it's something that we should be encouraged to do, and certain people even had meat all three meals on Shabbos. So it's something which is clearly encouraged, clearly desired, but not a chiv per se. It's not like Kiddush, it's not like something else of that nature. I should point out that at least in two different places in the Shulchan Aruch says that a person is obligated to do X, but if it's something that is a tzar for him, something that is unpleasant or painful, he should not do it. One example is eating, in general, the meals on Shabbos. A person should have three meals. A person needs to have bread for the first two meals and perhaps the third meal as well. But the Mechaber Paskin said if it's sour for a person to eat, some people are just much happier not eating. There are people who are in very, very strict diets. There are people that have other digestive issues. If it's sour for a person, the person should not eat, even though obviously it's a chiyuv. And the second place where that's talked about is the idea of eating chamin on Shabbos, the idea of eating hot food. And the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah say that if a person does not have hot food on Shabbos, so we may be concerned the person is not kikoros, a very strong language, because that person might be denying Torah Shabbat Peh, and this goes back to the issue with the Karaites, etc. But Mishnah Berurah and others, they point out that it's uncomfortable for a person to have hot food, so then they shouldn't have to have it, meaning that it's not owning Shabbos for that person to eat something that is unpleasant for them, and therefore if it's very, very hot and they're going to heat up the kitchen and everything else, so that even though ideally it's good to have chamin, so that should not be the case if it's sour for a person. So the same might be true for this thing as well. The ideal is to have meat. There's some people that just really, really dislike meat, and therefore perhaps for them, so there's other ways of expressing their sense of onik Shabbos. Either way, what clearly emanates from the Gemaras and from the Rishonim, from Shulchan Aruch, is the idea of a real focus on owning Shabbos, aggressive with Shabbos oneg, a real sense of engaging in the pleasure, in the adanim, the sense of Shabbos being main on haba, the sense of what it really means to have a oneness and a peace with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. All those things are the real emphasis of this topic. Again, the ideal is to have meat, but either way, the real idea is to make sure that we the real focus on the spirit and the owning of Shabbos, and to make Shabbos meaningful for ourselves and our family and for all of Klal Yisrael. Kol tov.